77 degrees, overcast in Kalamazoo. It is 590 WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence Show here. Hour number two as we get underway. Just a note to share with you. You are less than an hour away from your three-day weekend. So many people are going to be enjoying this weekend and enjoying various things, whatever it is you got planned. So, yeah, you're chomping at the bit to get out of there. That, let's face it, some people already have. It's a ghost town around here.
I don't really know.
Look around the hallways here. Yeah, there's a couple people roaming around. The unlucky ones, us, that hung around and didn't turn it into a four-day weekend, which makes people wonder, what was wrong with us?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
I guess, you know, next year we'll just have to be a little smarter, I think. But, meantime, we're glad to have you on board with us. We're going to continue to keep an eye on the weather with you, so you know if there's any rain in the air. There is some in the area. Whether it actually hits the ground, who knows. But there's some green stuff on the radar. It's the best way to put it. Once again, I'm chained to a desk, so I can't look out the window. But, you know, you get what you get.
Yeah.
So, continuing the program, and a reminder to you, if you would like to be a part of the program today, feel free to give us a call, 877-382-4280, toll-free. Also, our local number, if you're in the Kalamazoo area, 382-4280 will get you into the studio as well. Also, 80373, if you would like to text us and be a part of the program that way. And as we're talking about different items, we will share your thoughts with everybody as we continue on our journey in talk today, as it were. I'm talking a little bit further about the polling data that's come out. Now, the Epic MRA survey is what we talked about before, which showed that Mark Schauer was up 2 points on Governor Snyder. It also showed that Gary Peters was up by 6 on Terry Lynn Land. But that particular race is tightened up. So if you think about it, those two races moving opposite directions. Now, another one has come out, and that is the Mitchell survey, where they've done an automated survey, 1,004 likely voters, just on Wednesday, with a margin of error of 3.09%, 95% confidence level, and they said Rick Snyder is up a point on Mark Schauer, 47-46. Gary Peters up over Terry Lynn Land, 46-44. So basically what they're saying is, you know what, this looks to be a very, just a very, very close, very, very close campaign. Now, one thing that they did mention, and Steve Mitchell, the CEO of Mitchell Research, said that he was struck by how unpopular all four candidates are. Think about that. Boy, they don't like you guys. He said Peters and Land are underwater in their favorable, unfavorable ratings. For Gary Peters, favorable 30%, unfavorable 37%. And while Terry Lynn Land and her people have a bit of a smug smile, it's not much of one, 40% favorable, 42% unfavorable. That's just the Senate race. It's 47-45 for Snyder, 35-33 for Schauer. Yeah, there's not much popularity there. People aren't going, wow, what a person to vote for.
Yeah, so far they haven't been really impressed with any of them.
You think about it, I mean, go back to 2008. Barack Obama was pretty popular.
Oh, yes,
an awful lot of people that liked him, liked what he was about. What a likable guy. Wow, he's different. Oh, hope of change, yeah.
He was very charismatic with his speeches.
Mm-hmm. Or so we heard, anyway. Yeah. No, there wasn't much in him. But, you know what, style over substance in that particular case. But in this case, people are going, really? Really? Is this all we have to choose from? And I got to think this. A couple of reasons for the way that it is right now. And I think probably the biggest reason look at both of these races and look what they have in common. And no, it's not that they both have Democrats and Republicans in them. Every race has that. But these particular races, you did not see a primary challenger for Mark Schauer or Rick Snyder. You also didn't see a primary challenger for Gary Peters or Terry Lynn Land. There were no primaries in this. There was no sense that the parties are still trying to figure it out. It was like, all right, here's your choice. And, you know, for people in a political party, that's basically saying, okay, want to give you something to drink? Here's your choice. Coke. And there are going to be people going, is there Pepsi here? What if I don't want a cola? What if I want water? What if I want to flavor my water?
What if I want lemonade?
You don't get, what if I want lime in my Coke or vanilla? You know, you don't get that. You get, all right, here's what you're having. It's kind of like when, you know, we were in school years ago, you went to the cafeteria, this is what you're having.
It's like, no, is there any other choices?
No.
Oh, I'm not eating today, then.
You know, now, I will admit, you know, and it's getting off track a little bit. When I was in high school, we did have a few choices, and that was nice. But before that, it was just like, all right, here you go. You have two choices. Take it or leave it.
That's the way it was like in elementary school, definitely.
You know, you just, here, have this. And yes, it made that noise. But anyway, and I think that's a lot of it with these races is you didn't have this sense of variety. You didn't have a sense of candidates from the same party that are making the other candidates better. You know, and yeah, all right, you know, with an incumbent, you're not going to see as many primary challengers. But there wasn't that sense that we're battling this out. And you certainly didn't see it in the Senate race. And for that, shame on both parties. This is an open seat. There ought to be more than two people that want this thing. But there were only two people that decided to actually run for the thing. And I think the whole idea was, well, we want to have extra money around. It's going to be a hard-fought race. We want to make sure that we're taking care of this. And you know what? The other guys, they're not going to have anybody run, so we're not going to have anybody run. And that's what they both said, so you end up with what we've got. So people are going, this is it? Really? Now, you know, I think the one thing, and Mitchell saw this in his poll as well, he says that Snyder's support amongst Republicans dropped from 96% to 92%. I expect that number to go back up. I think there's just this sense of, do we gotta? Among some Tea Partiers. Eventually they'll go, yeah, we gotta. And he'll get some of that back. Now here's the thing. Amongst Democrats, I think they're finally paying attention. Because Mark Schauer had 81% support. Now he's got 90%. I'm assuming the other 9% were just kind of going, what? I've got vacation to take care of. Leave me alone.
They have better things to do.
But here's the thing, and this was the point I brought up earlier. Rick Snyder still has a lead among independents. He's up 51 to 38 over Mark Schauer, and I think that's the kicker right there. That's the key to this race. Are the independents. To see that makes me think, all right, Rick Snyder still has a bit of an edge in this thing. But look at these polls and come to this conclusion because, you know what, I've come to the same conclusion as well, and that conclusion is that's going to be a tight one. It's going to be close. You know, and we felt like at one point that the governor's race was not going to be close. It looked that way. It looked like Snyder's up 27. Because nobody had any idea who Mark Schauer was at that point. You know, and all right, that's, don't quote me on that. There's not a poll out there. I'm exaggerating, okay? But the point is, he was up by ridiculous numbers before.
This is about 8 or 9%.
Like 9%. I think there was one 12% one time, 15%. And most people were going, okay, so it's Snyder. And, yeah, those were probably outliers very early on that says, all right, heard a lot from Snyder, haven't heard much from the other guy. Well, now we're hearing from the other guy, and it gets tighter. And you got to think that the political parties, because they've been planning on spending money in this race all along, knew it was going to be a tight one. Because the Democratic Governors Association, if they would have felt like Mark Schauer was a lost cause, they would not have spent all the money that they already have, nor would they have plans to continue spending money. At the same time, the Republican Governors Association wouldn't have gone, you know what, our boy needs some help. Let's see if we can get him some help here. Let's spend some money on him. And they're continuing to plan to spend the money. And let's not even start on the Senate race. Because Republicans are figuring, you know what, this is our chance to take the Senate. Democrats are figuring, this is our chance to keep it. And so that's why they're fighting hard over this one. Particularly because, was it a few weeks ago, the Democrat that was running in the Montana race for Senate dropped out. And they put somebody up to replace that that candidate that is clearly not ready for prime time. So there's a seat that's already going to go red. So they know they need to hold on to this one. If they don't hold on to this one, then Republicans start looking really very much like they're going to pick up the Senate. Now, you get other stories out there, and there's a story out there talking about the president and his plans on doing something about immigration without Congress. And this story quotes certain Republicans, now it doesn't name them, that have said they'll shut the government down. I don't think the Republicans are going to do that in an election year, not if you paid all of them billions of dollars. I don't think they're going to do that because they know what a government shutdown would do, particularly in election year. That would be like saying, see ya, bye, we want to go home. There's not as many of us that want to be reelected. They want to be reelected. And they know the House is basically theirs, and they know they'll probably pick up seats. So, no, there won't be a government shutdown. So, there's stuff out there to indicate it's tightening up. But there's the other part, too, and I find this interesting. Sign up for Obamacare, that's going to happen during the campaign season. People will be reminded of what they're going to be dealing with, and you will see some of those policies and some of those numbers go up as they're going to do. And people are going to say, is this affordable or not? And they'll take it out on the president's party. I think that'll happen based on the fact that signups are going to start again, I think it's October, when that rolls out again. Unless the president decides, oh, no, we'll wait until the Wednesday after the election. That's it. Yeah. You never know. He's tried to do that stuff before. But these are the things that we're dealing with right now. And as we go into the campaign, it looks very close. Now, there are national figures, national outlets that are saying right now, Peters is the guy that's going to get elected from Michigan. The Washington Post keeps up with it. They said there is a 99% chance of Democrats keeping this seat. Now, they're also saying that there's a 63% chance Republicans will flip the Senate. That's down from 80% earlier this year. But at the same time, I don't know that Terry Lynn Land has that little chance. Because here's the thing, the national press that's looking at this is looking at polls that have happened earlier, and not the latest ones that have just come out, showing a 6-point difference and a 2-point difference between these candidates. A 6-point difference, I don't know, that's significant. The 2-point difference means, margin of error, this thing's close. A lot of it depends on what happens in the coming weeks and months. There have been things that have come out against Gary Peters, specifically about his investments. Those are going to have an impact on his voters, to at least some degree. There have been things coming out about what he says about immigration. Those are going to have an impact on voters. At the same time, it's going to have an impact on voters what comes out about Terry Lynn Land. What happened with financing for her campaign? That's a question people are going to ask. That'll have an impact. It'll have an impact on all the advertising that you're going to see and hear all over the place. Because like I said earlier, it's going to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. I even heard a suggestion that, if you've been thinking about canceling your cable, now might be a good time. Now, I'm not suggesting that by any stretch.
You still might get the local channels, though, and that means you're still going to see advertising. You're going to see them online. Heck, even when you play Words with Friends, you see them.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
So they're all over the place.
Certainly. I mean, I know, when I go online to do different things, they're still there. Mm-hmm. I see all sorts of stuff. Terry Lynn Land said this. Gary Peters said that. Okay, I get it. All right, there's an election coming. So that stuff is going to get out there. I think these races will all change back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's a lot of time between now and November. It'll fly fast. I think we all know that. It'll fly fast. But we're going to see a lot of twists and turns in this campaign. And I think, particularly with the governor's race, you see the governor get out there, I think that's the game changer. I think it would be a game changer to see Terry Lynn Land get a little bit more bold in her campaigning. She's out there now. To see her get a little more bold on it, a little bit more outspoken on it, a little bit more in her element on it, that could be a game changer. Will she do that? I don't know. Will Gary Peters do that? Who knows? That's why we talk about this stuff. But that's what we're facing. Well, we mentioned Obamacare. Well, you know what? There's been news about Obamacare. And something that it says that it won't do. Well, you'll hear about that as we continue ahead. -77 degrees. There's some clouds out there. 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on the aptly named Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael Loudon's here as well, keeping you company over there and keeping the phones held hostage, of course, as he always does. And in case you're curious, we said it earlier, but there's going to be some giveaways next week. So no doubt, because Michael has gotten a little rusty, he's probably going to hit you with some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia next week.
Yeah, I got to start getting ready for that.
Something tells me that that's going to happen. So
you can bank on it.
All right. Be ready for it then. That's all we'll say. Well, interesting things afoot. We'll spend a little more time talking about this after we get through the news break. But the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, said over the next few years, they expect the rate of labor force participation to decline about half a percentage point further. Now, labor force participation rate is the lowest it has been since 1978. We have gone over that stat again and again and again. But they said that, of course, you know, the most important of those factors is the ongoing movement of the baby boom generation into retirement. But federal tax and spending policies will also tend to lower their participation rate. In particular, certain aspects of the Affordable Care Act will tend to reduce labor force participation, with the largest effect stemming from the subsidies that reduce the cost of purchasing health insurance through the exchanges. Because the subsidies decline with rising income and increase with falling income and make some people financially better off, they reduce the incentive for some people to work as much as they would without the subsidies. Basically meaning that Obamacare is a disincentive to work. Now, work, of course, creates wealth. I don't need to go over that with you. You know that. When people work, it creates wealth. They make money. They are able to spend the money. That creates more jobs, etc., etc., etc. We could go on and on through this thing, but I won't. So if we're creating a disincentive to work, does that not choke the economy more than what it would be? Now, I'm not saying that let's take away health care because then people will work more. I'm not talking about that. No. But what I am saying is this. Should our government be encouraging people not to work? I would think they'd want people to work because there's more tax revenue in that.
Yeah, it would help them out.
But for whatever reason, this has been passed. You've got all these subsidies and all the things that are a part of Obamacare, and it discourages work. It was said before, and it's said now, by the CBO's latest report on it. Honestly, I find that a little disquieting. I think we want people to actually work, support themselves, so the government doesn't have to.
And so the economy gets stimulated.
That makes sense to me. What about you? We'll keep talking about it. 590 WKZO, 438, Jeremy Lawrence Show. And it's looking to be, it's a little wet out there, 77 degrees. Told it's not raining right now, but has. And there's definitely rain in the area and continues to move through the area. Looking at the radar at this point, it's moving kind of from a southwest to northeast direction. So be aware of that. And you know what? If you get the opportunity, make use of our website. We've got weather right up top for you when you get on there. There's a tab that says On Air Now and another tab that says Weather. Click on Weather. That way you get the latest weather. You get what the forecast looks like. And not only that, but you get the radar right there so you can check it out. Yeah, it's tiny, but you can click on it and it'll give you a bigger one.
It'll enlarge it for you.
But that's what we're looking at weather-wise right now. Of course, that brief look at the weather brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union. That's the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. We continue on, and one of the things that I wanted to spend a little time on was this report about Obamacare. Now, we've heard an awful lot about it. We've heard some false things that on both sides that have said, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And we've heard of others that claimed that they didn't save money when they actually did. It muddies the truth about it a little bit. But the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan organization, mind you, so they don't have a dog in this fight, they've weighed in once again on Obamacare. Now, first of all, recently they weighed in on Obamacare and said, there's so much money flowing through this and so many uncertainties, we can't even begin to tell you what it's going to do to the deficit. That's encouraging. This is the same program that wasn't supposed to add a dime to the deficit. Yeah, I mean, when I think about it today, it's just unbelievable to think, all right, more people are going to get health care. It's going to be cheaper for everybody, and the government won't be spending a dime more on it. Okay? I'll take governmental fantasies for 400, Alex. You know? I mean, I think, you know, when those of us that understand it know, all right, that's impossible. At some point, something's got to give. It's either going to be more expensive or the government's going to be spending more money. And then you get reports like this one where the CBO comes out and says, you know what, labor force participation is going to decline further. Now, some of that is baby boomers retiring, which now there are reports out there that say there are some baby boomers that aren't retiring when they should. And so that's going to affect it in some way or another as well. The other part of it is you've got, you know, the next generation coming along, and actually they've got more impact than the baby boomers now in terms of work and that kind of thing. That'll have an impact. The Affordable Care Act will have an impact, according to the CBO. Now, if you're just joining us, we shared this earlier. And here's what they said, that labor force participation would decline about half percentage point further, some of that by the baby boom generation retiring, but federal tax and spending policies will lower their participation rate as well. In particular, the Affordable Care Act will tend to reduce labor force participation stemming from subsidies that reduce the cost of purchasing health insurance through the exchanges. Because the subsidies decline with rising income, and they do rather drastically at certain income levels as well, and increase with falling income, that'll make some people financially better off if they reduce the, and you know, it reduces the incentive for some people to work. as much as they would without the subsidies. And as we said, those subsidies, there's not this gradual phasing. It's you get to a certain income level and boom, subsidies are gone. So what are people going to do? They're going to go, okay, do I want to pay more and have less in my pocket? No. So if I make less money, then they'll pay the subsidies and I'll have more money in my pocket. It's a screwed up way of looking at it, but people are at least shrewd about that, because there is one thing that I could say about most of us, the vast majority of us, whatever your political persuasion, whatever it is that you believe, I can tell you without a doubt, you want more money in your pocket.
Oh, definitely.
Who doesn't?
More spending money.
You can say, all right, I want more money, even if you're not going to spend it.
And you could save it, yes.
You know, even if you're not going to go out this weekend and party and buy a round of drinks for everybody. You know, even if you decide, you know what, I've got extra money, I'm going to save that money. So much the better. We all want more money. Nobody wants to get to that point of going, there's not enough. There's not enough. Nobody wants to get to that point. So you're going to find ways to do that, whether it's through working harder to make more money. And that's the standard way you would think it would work. But when you have these subsidies that say, all right, at this level, subsidies go away. At this level, you get more. It's kind of like the whole progressive tax type thing with, at this level, the government takes more of your money. Where's the incentive to make more money then? That's the question with this. And that's what you see with Obamacare at this particular point. That does have an impact on people and will make people decide, I don't need to do that quite as much. Now, if you want to comment on this, feel free. Maybe you think I'm wrong about it. Whatever it is, give us a call, 877-382-4280. That's the toll-free number. Locally, in the Kalamazoo area, it's 382-4280. Also, 80373 if you would like to be a part of the show via text message. And you can text us, share your insights that way. And you know what? We might even share them with everybody else as we go along here. But I think it's an important thing to look at, and it's an important thing to say, all right, if you, and you got to dig into this, you got to dig deeper than just going, oh, well, you know what? It frees people up. They don't have to stay at a job they hate just to keep their health coverage. Well, that's, okay, I get that, but it's disingenuous to look at it that way any more than it's disingenuous to say, Obamacare is totally bad. Everything is wrong with it. And there will be people that would be surprised that I would say that, but you know what? There are things in there that universally people want. So those are the things that we need to keep in there. But there are other things that are universally bad for us, and we need to get out of there. How about that? How about we do that? And to say people aren't locked into jobs, well, no. That's not something that we need to look at. What we need to look at is how we get people back to work and working and supporting themselves. Because let's face it, if people are supporting themselves, they're not going to be dependent on the government for things, and the government will spend less money. And if the government's spending less money, guess what? Oh, I don't know. We might be able to balance the budget, imagine.
Or even have a surplus and pay down the debt.
What's that like?
I don't know.
Ooh, a surplus. Now, I think, you know, we all want to have that surplus. We all want to do that. But I think this is where we start looking at, all right, what is government doing to encourage things? What is government doing to discourage things? Look at it that way. And I think there's a solution to this. And in terms of healthcare, you've got to look at, all right, what do we want to change in healthcare? Make those changes. And then come up with things that are going to make it more affordable, like legal reform. so that doctors are not paying so much in insurance that they can't afford to even stay in business. Think about what doctors have done as well. How many doctors are independent anymore? You know, think about your doctor's office. Most of us will say big impersonal place where there's about 12 doctors that have joined together, and every doctor has this little place, just this little area that they're responsible for, and then the rest of it is taken care of by a larger corporation because the larger corporation can actually afford it. Because doctors can't afford to do it for themselves. If they want to go into business, they can't do it. That's a problem. And you can't just say, well, doctors are wealthy. Doctors are this or that or the other. You know what? If they're in business for themselves, they're struggling. And if they're paying as much debt as most do, it's going to be a while before they find themselves in a position to go on, hey, guess what? I could afford that Mercedes now, you know? It just, that's the bottom line on it. That's the truth of the matter. And you can't just look at it with just that, oh, doctors, yeah, well, they make lots of money. So, yeah, we can soak them. That's okay. What if they decide to start going out of business, going into other lines of work? You're saying, why would they do that? Well, what if you can make more money not being a doctor than being a doctor? And if that's the case, if we have less doctors, won't that raise the costs for healthcare? There will be more demand and less supply. It's the old supply and demand thing. I think you take it back to basics on all of this stuff. Back to basics with the Affordable Care Act. Make it really affordable. Deal with the supply and demand issue. Have more of a supply of doctors. And demand is going to say, well, all right, prices are going to go down because doctors are going to want business. It's the age-old way business works. And I think we don't need those things in there that will punish people for making more money. We shouldn't punish people for making money. That should be the thing that we all want to do. And let's face it, we all want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to make more money. If you don't, you're an outlier. And that's okay. You're fine if you don't. But most of us would sit here and say, yeah, you know what? More money would be kind of nice.
More money's for your family to support them. More money's for yourself. More mm-hmm. more money to put away and save for the future.
I might be able to, I don't know, buy a newer car or something.
Make some improvements on stuff.
And there are things we can do to encourage that. The Affordable Care Act is not one of them. Sail. 76 degrees in Kalamazoo, our last segment together here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll do kind of a rundown of all the different news that has taken place today. You will want to be a part of it. We'll get you in the know on everything. Not only that, we're going to have some good commentary. Dave Ross is going to be a part of things, Todd Starnes as well, and the whole cast of characters that are part of your 5 o'clock hour, so make sure that you stay with us. All right, we were talking a little bit about Obamacare, and there was somebody that called in with a question, Michael.
Yes, the question they posed to me was if the Republicans took the Senate back, would them combined with the House be able to overthrow Obamacare?
Okay. The answer to that is no. And here's the reason why. First of all, if Republicans take the Senate, realistically, they will have a majority of about, it'll be basically 53 seats is what they would end up with. And that's maximum. So you don't have that filibuster-proof majority of 60 seats to be able to overcome whatever it is you've got going there. So the Senate won't be able to overturn it. The House, you know the House, they'll vote on it again. I mean, that's mm-hmm. The House does that. The Senate we'll have to work a little bit to see if they can't get things done on that. But still, even if the Senate and the House could get together and agree, this is what we're going to pass, and it was a repeal of Obamacare, Tell me if you think the president would sign that bill.
Oh, no way. He would never do that.
I mean, you'd have to just kind of slip it in there very quietly in a bill for something else. Yeah, this is actually more money for the roads, Mr. President. Here, sign this and pay no attention to that part down there.
Give him a blank piece of paper to sign, then type it all
out. Yeah, there you go. Somebody go get the auto pen, sign the bill, and then we'll write it. How about that? I'm kidding. I'm really kidding. I wouldn't suggest that.
No, me either.
But I think the one thing that Chris Christie said that was very, very true, someone asked him, what are we going to have to do to get Obamacare out of there? And he says, we're going to have to get a new president. That's what we're going to need to do. And he wasn't necessarily referring to himself in that case. Somebody asked it, and he was at a town hall meeting, and he answered it that way. And I think that's the short version of it. Now, I think if Republicans get both houses of Congress, then you need to start coming to the president and say, all right, we want to work on something here to see if we can't get something we can all agree on. And see if we couldn't come up with something a little better. Here's the thing. We're going to see come October what some of those costs for plans are going to be. We're going to see the numbers on a lot of these plans go up. You'll see it. It'll happen. And that's going to cause a reaction in the election. And then when that happens, you're going to see, all right, wait a minute. The results of that election proved out. All right, Republicans are in charge of this, that, and the other. Democrats are probably going to be a little bit more willing to deal because 2016's on the horizon. And guess what? Democrats would like to actually, oh, I don't know, win or something. You know, so that's going to be the place that we'll be at. It might be something where we'll actually have maybe a year or so before this presidential thing heats up and nothing gets done, that we can actually get some things done. Now, will the president come along and say, all right, yeah, all right, we'll overturn this, we'll do this, this, and that? I don't know. I doubt it. But I think if you approach him and say, look, you got to give us a little something. Here's what we're willing to give you. And there's the thing right away, you say, all right, here's what we're going to give you, pre-existing conditions, because we all want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll give you that one. We'll give you the kids on the policy through 26. Not everybody wants that one, but you got to give somewhere. But then we want something else from you. And I think the other part of it is that, you make it clear. And that's the other thing. After this election, when you start warming up for the presidential campaign in 2016, Barack Obama is a lame duck. And he won't be, he doesn't get much done now, quite frankly. But he won't be able to get much of anything done without Congress's help. And he's going to be thinking about legacy at that point. What legacy am I going to leave? Well, you kind of want Obamacare to work, I would think.
I would hope so.
So he might be a little more amenable to working with Congress on that. I don't see them totally overturning it. I don't think that'll happen unless you get a Republican in there in 2016 and a Republican Congress. It just isn't going to happen. That's just where it is. So you got to work with the president on it, or you're going to have to wait and put up with what it does and hope like heck that you can at least come to some deals on certain parts of it that are just not palatable. So it's my 2 cents worth on it. But I think, the big fix for all of it, get stuff out of there that incentivizes certain things. We've talked about Burger King moving to Canada. You know why? They don't want to pay corporate taxes here. They're lower in Canada. So guess what? Maybe we ought to lower our taxes here and they would stay. Or we lower our taxes here and companies that are overseas will come here because it's cheaper to do business in America. Maybe we do what has been suggested already, and I think it may be time to talk about this, a flat tax. A flat tax that says, all right, everybody pays at this percentage, and you do it over a certain income level. Everybody pays this percentage, and that's it. On whatever income you have, doesn't matter what kind, you pay this percentage. Would make things simpler, I would think. And there'd be more people that would be maybe disposed towards working a little harder, making a little bit more. We all like that sort of thing.
Yes.
It's going to do it for the show for today. Have yourself a great long weekend, and we'll hook back up on Tuesday. Till then, we'll see ya.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.